you know,
I
but
feel
they still
that,
have issues with it, and it's their shit, not mine. So y'all go handle your shit over there, and I'll go handle my shit over here, you know?
Exactly,
Doesn't mean
yeah.
I don't love them.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was saying, a couple of things is I was actually married to a woman for 8 years. I am recently going through a have recently gone through a divorce. From that, I took that step in that journey before coming out and really owning who I am. I'm still trying to work on owning who I am and figuring out what makes Terry click and makes Terry who he is.
Yeah.
And so that's just a little piece about me. Doug, a little piece about you.
Well, I kind of just gave a little piece about me.
Well, it also
And yeah.
wasn't captured.
Captured?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, about my bigoted, racist, homophobic, religious parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the podcast people have heard all about that,
Yes, they
you know?
have.
And it's not like a not, it's not like it's an unusual story. It's actually very, very common in the gay world. You know, the only
Yeah.
reason why parents have a problem with it is because, you know, that's like I tell people, if you were to have been born up, raised up with hippie parents, it wouldn't be an issue. You know,
Exactly.
it's like just because your parents believed a certain way doesn't mean you should be forced on you, you know?
Yeah.
You can offer it up, I'll take it or leave it.
Yeah, because like I kind of feel with that because whenever I was like younger, my father wanted me to like go into football and baseball and all these like, you know, manly sports. And I was just like, I want to go into like gymnastics. I want to take some dance lessons. I want to cheer a little bit. Like, it's kind of like that. And also like being forced into going to church every Wednesday, every Sunday, and not really being there for church. I just wanted to see like my friends, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it was your hangout spot.
Yeah.
That makes complete sense because, you know, you always find that place where you're comfortable around your friends. Like, I know everybody thought I was weird, but I always loved going to school when I was growing up because that's where I felt comfortable. That's where I felt like myself. And yeah, people picked on me and called me names and stuff, but it didn't bother me. I had no cares when I was there. Like, people would be like, "Oh, you're gay." Okay, I already know that, but like, you don't need to tell me
Yeah.
what I am. But I just kind of brushed it off a lot. And I think, really, like, in life, it was really like my parents and stuff that really got to me and made me feel something when they would, you know, come at me and say that I'm gay and you're just this and you're just that. It was very, very negative. And but school was,
Scary.
yeah, it's very
It's
scary.
scary.
But my school was always my sanctuary, was always my safe place. So also another thing, before we kick off the show real quick, this podcast is kind of a big deal. And the intent and purpose of this podcast was to have on people that are in the LGBTQ community, that want to share their story and help other people that may be going through things similar to you or maybe gay and are afraid to come out, and to give them a voice of reason and help them with that. We actually just created a Facebook group, that is linked to our Facebook page at KOABD Pod, which you can follow. We would love to have you on there. And that group is called Kind Fam, and that's everybody that we have on as guests that can be somebody that people can reach out to and talk with and open up to. All
Yeah, I would love
right, so let's kick it off.
that. Let's go.
Thank you. Hello, 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 kind fam, and welcome to another episode of Kind of a Big Deal podcast. I am your host, Terry Biller, and I am joined here with my co-host,
Doug motherfucking Parks.
So this week, we actually have a special guest that we were bringing to you from Knoxville, Tennessee. But before we jump into our special guest, we just have to give you a little tidbit of information. Our friend Craig Lux will not be joining us on this episode. He is on a kindness mission.
Yes.
So
I just told his ass that because he texted me like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, you're doing what makes you kind of a big deal. You're taking care of your loved ones.
Yes. So he is on a kindness mission and we wish him the best of luck. And we hope that everything works out for him and his friend that he is helping take care of. So without further ado, here is our guest. It is John Hawkins. Thomas. Fuck that one up. And you may also know him by his drag persona, Eva La Diva, or, and I'm going to let him go ahead and tell us what the other one was before he just recently changed it, which is something we'll get into later.
Hello. So you guys probably know me as Gorgeousa La Diva, but recently changed it to Eva La Diva.
So let's start with that because I'm very curious on changing drag names, and I've seen where drag queens will actually change their name for many different reasons. So I was just curious, why did you choose to change your drag name?
Well, I chose Gorgeousa a long time, way before I even thought of, you know, being in a drag persona. So whenever I started, you know, fiddle-faddling around with makeup, I was like, that's gorgeous. And I was like, oh, Gorgeousa. I was like, all right, that sticks.
Yeah, I
like but that. Whenever... Huh?
I like that.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, that kind of sticks. It's unique. And I was like, that's great. But then, like, a year or two going into it, people kept asking, like, how do you say it? What did you say? Is your name George? And people with, like, bookings and everything, they didn't know how to spell it. And it kind of, like I was down to, you know, say it and spell it and everything. But then it just got, like, kind of annoying to me a little bit. So I was like, well, let's go into something, like, sweet and simple. And one of my close friends, we were just, like, spitting off ideas. And she said, how about Eva? And I was like, oh, that's kind of cute. So my drag mother is named Sativa La Diva. And I was like, exactly, yes. And I was like, Eva Sativa La Diva. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cute. So let's kind of stick with that. And I've been, you know, trying to get my name out there and everything. And once I got a little bit of my name out there, that's whenever I decided to change it into something that's more easier.
You can also say that as Eva La Diva.
Yeah.
Because you're forever the diva.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Way to play that one up.
Hell yeah.
So I'm going through your Facebook right now and looking at some of your pictures, and you've got a lot of pretty drag looks, like different kinds. I like these.
Thank you. I used to put my eyebrows on my forehead, like very high up there.
I like how they come down the middle. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. I've been just switching on and off between what kind of looks look right with me, especially with my facial structure and helping me not look like a man, if that makes any sense.
No, you definitely, it's beautiful. I like it. It's definitely, and it's cool to take something different and make it work.
Because mm-hmm.
somebody else doing that might not work as well as you made it do, so that's very good.
I think your signature that I've seen from your photos is the eye lashes on the bottom that mm-hmm. come down. Beautiful. And it's very creative because you don't see it very often in drag paint and makeup and stuff that they do something on the bottom. So I love that. When I was looking at your pictures, like I kept drawing my eyes kept drawing to that because it's different.
Yeah.
And you have this one look, it has the lashes coming down on your cheeks and you have red hair. You remind me yes. of a fembot on there. I'm reminded of one of the fembots off of Awesome Powers when I see that.
That is one of my goals.
So yeah, it's definitely a good look.
Thank you so much.
So how did you come up with the idea to put the lashes at the bottom? Was it the fembots?
Kind of, sort of. And also, I kind of like, in a way, I look up to like Disney princesses throughout my whole life. So I would see a little bit of the lash underneath their eyes and also trying to fluctuate, is that the word? Fluctuate the eye shape, because whenever you put the bottom lash under, it opens up your eye a little bit more.
Oh, awesome. I don't know if that was a word, but let's coin it.
Let's go for it.
Fluctuate. Fluctuate those eyes, girl.
Yes. I could be completely wrong, but it's the word.
Yeah, RuPaul, you're going to have to pay us for that use word there.
Yeah, as long as you own it, girl.
That might send the money right straight to John.
All right, my Cash App and Venmo is on one of those videos, probably.
So, the thing that I wanted to bring up and talk to you about was you are actually decently new to drag, with starting in the year of 2018. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I think this is the first time we've had a guest that has done drag that is kind of new. So I was just kind of curious about this. What was your thought process when you stepped out on stage that first show?
My first thing that I have ever thought was, oh God, what am I doing? And whenever I started to go out, your first performance as a drag entertainer is what you can build from. So my first ever performance was me going out in 8-inch heels, a romper that I found at the mall, a hair that I found from Amazon, and my friend did my makeup that night. So whenever I came out, you could definitely see that it was my first ever performance, because I just walked around, I did a little flip and everything, but then I don't know, it's just in my head, it was something that I've always wanted to do, but never did.
I don't know, the rumor I heard about that performance was that the applause was heard all the way to Florida.
Yeah, because a lot of queens in Knoxville don't really do back handsprings or jumping off a 5-foot, not really 5-foot, but 4.5-foot column into a split.
Yeah.
You know,
when they jump from them steps into a split, I'm I just cry. Oh my God.
We've actually had a few guests on that we've actually mentioned that to, and they're girl, we are already feeling every pain. A little bit more does not hurt.
Also, the adrenaline of going on stage is completely amazing. Whenever you're walking down to get onto the stage, it's you're in your head a little bit, you're talking to yourself a little bit, don't mess up this, don't mess up this. But whenever you go up on there, your whole mindset changes because of you're there to have fun, you know?
Yeah, of course. And I mean, personally, I am a huge admirer of drag. I love all the ins and outs of it. And I actually would enjoy to perform myself in the future. Right now, I haven't gotten out there and done it only because of the fact is that I have multiple other projects going on. And when I do it, I want to do it right and I want to own it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you definitely want to invest in it.
I totally understand that.
Yeah, I totally want to.
Well, a few of our friends have had little bathroom parties with you where they did your makeup, but those are white girls doing makeup as if you're a girl.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. And drag makeup's completely different.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
more exaggerated.
Yeah. It's in the spectrum between the way clowns do their makeup and regular women, you know, cause I'm not saying that they're clowns at all, but the makeup use is in the middle there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's just the best look, actually. And there's you see a lot of women now doing makeup like drag queens do their makeup and getting really bold and going out in public. I saw a woman the other day with this green that turned into hot pink. And it looked a little trashy, but it looked kind of good, too, at the same time. I could tell she kept doing it. She could pull it off. You know, yeah. She's just a regular lady on the street. So it's starting to, like, catch on everywhere.
They're trans.
People are starting to get a little bit more ballsy.
Yeah. Yeah, I dressed up as, I'll have to send you the picture. I dressed up as Clit one year for Halloween, and I was it, and I had a vagina. I was coming out of a vagina.
Yes.
And yeah, I'll send you pictures because it was funny as shit. So like all the makeup I put on for that, I'm just like, it was breaking my face out. I couldn't do it. You know, if I would have used like drag queen makeup, I probably would have been all right, but using that makeup they sell for Halloween just ate my face up.
Yes, I completely understand that. I mean, like, there's some foundations out there that will actually eat up your skin, because some of the like new drag queens, they come out and they look, you know, they have dollar store makeup on, or they have something that's completely wrong for their skin type. Like, there's foundations for dry skin, oily skin, patchy skin, you know, and sometimes you don't really know which is good for your skin, because sometimes people don't know their skin. Like, whenever I came into drag, I was wearing, like, the sticks, the Mehron sticks of foundation, and it just clogged my pores up, and I was, like, breaking out and everything, and it was awful. But yeah, we just gotta find something to play around in.
Yeah, it's definitely a playground with when it comes to painting. Is you gotta try to figure out your look and what works best for you, and you can't always copy another queen because it's most of the time not gonna look right on you. So you have to find your own thing, and I think that's the stage that I'm in, is trying to like buy things here and there and working with them, learning how they work, learn how they work on my skin, learning how to take my face, my boy face, and turn it into a queen face. And so all those different elements to kind of blend the character to life.
Yeah. I think if you can find like another sensitive part of your body, like the armpits or between the legs or something, and apply the makeup there and wear it throughout the day, and at least make sure it doesn't break you out. You know, then you can start trying it on your face and however, and you probably be all right.
Yeah. So the next thing that I kind of wanted to cover with you is in the information you had sent us, you had stated that you had made a comment about your dad deciding to ignore everything about you being homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
Were you just raised by your father, or was your mother also in the picture too?
My mother was in the picture, and my father was in the picture, but they were divorced whenever I was really young. So I mostly was with my mother, but like just going back and forth.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah.
So, would you say that your mother accepted you when you had come out?
She did. It was just right whenever RuPaul started getting so like more famous into like the TV business, So like switching over to like VH1 and everything, that was like around, well, I wouldn't say like that. It was around whenever I was in middle school, so about like 2010 is whenever everybody started being like more out and about and not being like so scared in Tennessee.
Girl, you're young. You
I
said
turned 23 this
2010.
year.
You said 2010. I was out of high school in 2010.
Oh no.
I was locked the fuck up. They had to put me down for a little bit. I was misbehaving. But hey, I had fun in there, so I can't complain.
So, has your father come around to your sexuality, or is it still an issue?
It's still an issue to where it's like I won't come back for Christmas, or like if again, like my family is there and my brother is there, that means like I'm good to come up there, but I will not, I don't feel comfortable being around him by myself, if that makes any sense, because we will just go back and forth on, different, I guess different like mindsets, because I'm more free spirited. He's more not so free spirited. Like he wants to have control over everything. If I don't know if that makes any sense, like control freak over,
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, complete
yeah.
sense.
Our daddies too.
We love daddy
And
issues.
it's their shit. Like, I don't understand. How can you tell your child you love them and then turn around and just hate anything about them? It's not like we're child molesters, and that's how they view us, is like on that level, and it's fucked up because that's not what we are. You know, most of the time we're the ones saving children from being in orphanages, you know? We're the ones that step in and adopt those older kids because nobody wants older kids. You know, we're the ones doing that. And how could you be so angry about that?
Exactly,
You
yeah.
know?
So I think the reason why, like, I kind of brought this topic up a little bit is Doug already hit on it. You know, him and I both have issues with our dads. I'm also a child of divorce. My mother and father got divorced, and so I actually have a stepfather and a stepmother. My stepmother, my biological mother, my stepdad, they all are pretty cool with my sexuality, haven't said anything, you know, negative towards it. Just they're happy that I am who I am and I can be myself. But my dad has struggled with it a lot, and that's the same case with me, like on holidays and stuff like that. Like if my siblings are there, I feel comfortable going, but as soon as they leave, I want to leave, because then it starts this argument and this bad energy, and I don't need that, and I don't want it. So I kind of just take myself out of the situation, and when my sisters or my brothers say they're going, I'm like, okay, I'm going too, and I make up some excuse on why I have to get going. And like my stepmom knows why I do it, but my dad still hasn't picked up on why I do it.
And speaking from somebody who's much older than both of you, 'cause this bitch is 44, there's ups and downs. 'Cause there's been times when I've hung out with my mom and dad and everything was cool. Usually that's when I'm single, and like in their mind at this point, he's not gay right now, you know? And like they're different. And then when I start bringing somebody around or talking about somebody, then they shut down. I feel it. And then I give them their space. You know, but like it's been up and down for so many years, and I'm like, it's been 20 some years now. Get over the shit, you know? And I've told him that, like, I'm done at this point. You know, when I see you've changed at this point, then I'll come around. But till then, like, you know, Vios que Dios.
The last time I was at my father's was actually Christmas Eve. And just an example of how weird things get and how quickly. My sister had left and she had to get her kids home. So I was like, okay, you know, I'm gonna leave. Well, my stepmom was like, hold on, I have food for you to take home. And so she had all this food that she packed up for me to take home, because, you know, that's what moms do. And my dad made a comment about, I just don't understand. And I'm like, what is there to understand? And he's like, I don't understand how a man could be with another man. I said, well, Dad, I don't understand how you can be with a woman. And he's like, well, that's the way it's supposed to be. I said, who said it was supposed to be the way it was? That's the way it was supposed to be. So it just created this tension because I can't keep my mouth shut. I speak my mind. And then when you come at me with something that is half crooked, and I'm going to say something about it. It's just who I am as a person. So it started something. Yeah. And then I was like, you know what? I'm good. We got Pastor Smurf up in this house. I'm leaving.
Well, you know, it also comes down to people who use logic and people who don't. The people who don't use logic or depend on it or believe in it and don't use it, don't understand it, that's, they're lost like that. And they clamp onto religion because that tells them this is right and this is true. And they grab a hold of it and they believe in this thing that they were taught, not what they really truly believe. Where a logical person will be like, what do I truly believe? You know, I believe God's real. I don't believe that Jesus died for everybody but gay people. You know, so like I have my own beliefs and they're influenced by my parents a little bit, I guess, because I stuck with the religious aspect. But, you know, it's just, it's what it is. It's like what I believe. I don't push it on people and I don't expect people to understand or, you know.
It's not like we're on the street saying, like, you know, how people say, like, holding up the signs and everything, like, God is the way. We're not.
Yeah, I'm not following kind of hypocrites people. Around chanting at them. Hypocrites are saying, you're going to kill, you're a hypocrite. Maybe we should start doing that.
Yeah, the next pride parade. You're going to hell, you're a hypocrite.
The next baptism. Just stand up there on the hill with signs.
Bathe in his blood.
Two wrongs don't make a right, Douglas. But
that's,
It, you know, to the point of what Doug had said about religion is I feel there's a spiritual way to view things. And then there's the Christian way to view things. I feel like Christianity usually closes the mind more, where if you're more spiritual, then you can open your mind and accept people who are different and who come from a different background and not judge those people. And create bonds with people that are outside of your everyday norm. So, sorry, I've been rambling on because, you know, a girl can talk.
So like, okay, like we've talked on the show before. Go ahead. We've talked on the shows before, like about sexuality, like what our sexualities are, because Terry and I and a lot of friends of ours are really coming to know themselves differently. And there's like polyamorous, you know, transgender, bisexual, C-sexual, trisexual, all that, right?
Pansexual.
Like, pansexual. Like, so where do you think you fall if you had to label yourself? Because I'm not really into labels. I love who I love. You know, I just, 99.999% it's just been men.
Yeah, I feel like I'm down in that same area. I have been more open to trans men in a way. I, you know, fiddled around into the trans area that are open about, you know, being in a relationship with another man or being in a relationship that's in being with someone who is, you know, similar or not similar, but I would classify myself as a gay male that is open to anything.
Okay.
If that makes any sense. So, like, on the way to being pansexual, but, like, just testing the waters, if that makes any sense, too.
So, and that's to hit on that, because I've actually been approached by a couple of friends and asking me if I did fall into the category of being pansexual. And I, if I had to label myself, I would say that I can label myself as pansexual. The thing that I've noticed, though, is I have more of an attraction to men and the male figure, and I connect with them more than I do with females. And I've never been with anybody that is transgender. I've never had that connection before, so I'm not opposed to it or anything. So that's why I put myself in that category of being pansexual, because I'm not opposed to that.
Yeah. No, I completely understand that, though. Like, I see myself being with more of the male side more than I be with, like, a woman. And going back to, you know, the dad thing, he just kept asking me, like, why do you want to go for a man? I was like, well, I mean, I feel more safe. Like, if I make, like, where am I going?
That makes sense. That makes sense.
More security.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I completely feel you on that, because that I literally had that thought the other day. I was like, you know, what is different about being in a relationship with a man versus being in a relationship with a female? And I literally pinpointed it right away. When I was in a relationship with a man, I felt the safest I've ever felt. I mm-hmm. felt like I didn't have to worry. I didn't have to care if they were judging me. But there was other anxieties that were building up around it, but that anxiety wasn't there. Like, I felt safe and I felt comforted, even in the smallest of ways. Like, I felt comfort and I felt very safe.
I felt like I didn't have to hide anything.
Agreed.
Oh yeah. 'Cause men can fart around each other and laugh about it, you know?
Oh yeah.
So like, yeah, it's definitely, that's understandable.
Of like, who has the biggest burp?
Yeah, like, the locker room persona is still there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can see why, because the locker room is your first time you found out you were gay, at least with me. You know, I seen other men mm-hmm. naked, and this was in middle school, and I was like attracted to them, and I was getting erections, and then like all my insecurities came in because I was trying to hide that, and you know, it was weird, but yeah, that's it. That's where it's rooted in. So like that whole, I guess that's why I am the way I am, you know, the whole locker room joking and playing and being childish shit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that was actually, the locker room was where I first realized that I started to have an attraction for men, because there was a point where I started changing in the bathroom stalls, because like if I would see them in their underwear, you know, their skivvies and stuff, they're showering, like
yeah.
I was getting aroused and they're like
Supermans.
Yeah. And like it was just weird to me, and I think it was because like I was fearful of it. So like I hid myself away and didn't try to own who I was.
Mm-hmm.
Da-da-da-da-da. I'm surprised there's not like a psychiatrist out there that hasn't figured this out yet, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe Google can tell Dr. Phil and he can get working on it.
Oh please. I love Dr. Phil.
He did a battle rap the other day with James Gordon. I was dying. It was funny. You have to check it out.
I love that.
James Gordon's hilarious. But yeah, check him out. He was battle rapping Dr. Phil.
James Corden's been in a couple good musicals too.
Yeah.
Speaking of musicals, do you have a theater background?
I do, in a way. Whenever I was in middle school, we had a thing called show choir. So show choir is basically like a triple threat of like dancing, singing, acting, and everything else. And I took opera lessons whenever I was in middle school.
Ooh, sing for us.
Mm-hmm. I am good right now.
It might not sound that good on our mics.
Yeah.
You know, just because we don't have the amps and stuff. But
maybe one day I will.
I still it's say sing like... for us.
Well, are you allowed to like? Are you allowed to carry a mic during your drag performances and sing with that instead of the lyrics playing over their sound system? Would they? You
I
know,
can, but it's just like I guess it's the nerves, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just like.
Well, you're trying to dance around and do a lot.
Yeah, Like dancing is one thing, but like actually talking in front of people kind of gets me a little bit. Like singing and everything, because I think it's like trapped in my head that like I'm not that good, but also like another form of anxiety is like the social part of anxiety. It's where like I will start to panic in a way, and it won't sound good.
Yeah, I get
Because
that.
like, and again with the show choir thing, I had a solo and I completely screwed that up. Like, because I just got on the mic and just froze.
Yeah.
And like, I thought stuff was coming out, but it wasn't. So I kind of let my chorus teacher down for that.
See, and I was in chorus in high school. I was in middle school and elementary school as well. And but in high school, I had really connected with the chorus teacher and still talk to her to this day when I see her out and about. And we created this group, and this was right around the start of the concept of Glee on Fox. And we created this group called the Harmonizers. And I had that same moment where they wanted me to try out for singing the Star Spangled Banner at graduation. And I literally just froze. And when I started singing, it was the worst singing I have ever done in my entire life. Like, it sounded like garbage. And after that, I'm not even lying, it was horrible. And after that, like, I had a long period of time where I wouldn't sing and I wouldn't do any of that. And then one day I was in the shower and I just started singing and I was like, God, I miss this. And I just keep doing it all the time, trying to get my voice back to where it was too, because that's another thing. As I get older, my voice has changed slightly since it was when I was singing at 16, 17 years old. So for me to sing now, it's much different than it was when I sang when I was younger.
So are you interested in like comic books or superhero movies and things like that?
I was whenever I was younger, but now since like
So,
I am a little older, I don't really fall back on that.
all right. So, like, what was your favorite superhero or
Oh, Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman? Oh,
Oh,
okay.
girl.
Yeah, there was a queen that there was a queen up in New Beginnings when we were up there who started spinning around and took her off her outfit and turned into Wonder Woman. It was cool as shit. You know, but like, yeah, we'll talk later because I got an idea for something new and I want to run it by Gianna and Terry a little more, but it involves something along them lines and I'll let you know what it is later.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
So we always have amazing, brilliant ideas come out of kind of a big deal podcast here.
Love ideas.
So if you want to hear some more ideas, just hold on one second because we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with some more kind of a big deal podcast after this. Yes.
Yes.
Let's take a second to talk about Xtina Paints. Christina Little is a member of the Kind Fam. She's very close with Doug and I, and I'm sure she will get very close with Craig once she meets him. If you want to, you can support our friend Christina with her new endeavor, where she takes her beautiful art and places them on real cool products. You can go to etsy.com/xtinapaints, and that is XTINAPAINTS. You can also go to the Facebook page for Kind of a Big Deal podcast, and the link will be pinned right up at the top. So please support our friend Christina and purchase something from her awesome Etsy store today. Bye.
Hey,
Hey, everybody. This is Terry Miller from Kind of a Big Deal podcast. And guess what? I'm excited to tell you. Pride Month is celebrated every June in tribute to those involved in the Stonewall riots. And we're getting ready to dust off our rainbow flags, douse ourselves in glitter, and go join in the fun. With parades, festivals, and concerts going on across the globe, there's always some way for you to get involved, as well as learn more important things about social history along the way. And I'm here to announce it is time for another Pridecast event, and we're releasing it in June for Pride Month. So tune in on June 8th for Pridecast 21. So get your best drag on and let your rainbow flag fly. Because bitches, we are turning it up. Bye. So welcome back. We're still sitting here with our friend from Knoxville.
Yes.
So, John, I am kind of curious on one question for you. Do you enjoy musicals?
Yes, I do.
What would you say is your favorite musical of all time?
Oh, hands down, Wicked.
Ooh, oh, that's good. That is a good choice.
Hands down.
Mine is Rent.
Yes. That's a close. I think that's my third.
I love Rent. And my second is probably The Greatest Showman. Mm-hmm. Because I absolutely love that one.
I'm old school, so mine's Hairspray.
Oh, yeah, Hairspray's good.
Like I'm from that era.
Yeah.
And I just, the new one and the old one, they did really well on, you know? It's like also Rocky Horror is another one is mine, you know?
And I mean,
I think that is my second one.
Oh, I love Rocky Horror too. That's also one of my favorites. But any musical that has Zac Efron in it, right on my list.
Oh, yes.
He is
a cute little Indy Irish or something.
He's easy on the eyes. I don't know what his demographic is, but he easy on the eyes.
Yeah.
Every movie he has come out, if it says Zac Efron starring, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to see that movie.
They had the movie where he was in college and the neighbors came over and asked him to be quiet.
Neighbors?
That shit was hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The second one I didn't really like, but the first one I thought was good. So, do you primarily perform in Knoxville, or have you performed in other places as well?
I performed at the new bar called Sanctuary, where they do performing arts, and I wouldn't say it's a bar. It's called Sanctuary, and it is in Chattanooga. They just opened it, and the owner is Piranha Rivers. She is also a entertainer as well. And it is in this like really old Victorian church that she like flipped it into having it as like a performing arts and a cafe.
That's awesome.
I know. I think she's just going to make it into like a dry bar.
Oh.
So like not so heavy on the alcohol, but like if you want to bring alcohol, probably you can.
Yeah, like a BYOB.
I'm not 100% of like how she's going to do that, but she's also opening up a cafe in it as well.
Wow. So, that's awesome.
And I've also performed at Temptations in Cookeville, Tennessee.
Oh, never heard of that one.
Temptations, either. Was that with a group of people or just by yourself?
They have like an open stage night to where it's like you can do whatever.
Is Temptations the name of the club?
Yes.
Okay. I was thinking you perform Temptations, like the group. The Temptations. They're old. They're awesome. But it's these guys that sing, these four guys that sing together.
Hold on a second. He shared his age. Give him a minute.
Yeah, I'm red faced right now.
I mean, I know who the Temptations are, but I mean, he's also younger than me, so
I forget he was squirted out when I was like in my 30s.
Yeah. So don't quote me on this, but I'm going to ask a question, so don't be mad if it's wrong, okay? Is the Temptations the ones that sing Staying Alive?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay, then I may be wrong, but we are going to do the Google, and we are going to see. Because I can't remember who sings Staying Alive, but I thought it was the Temptations, but I could be wrong. But yeah, the Temptations was an old group, and that's what he's referring to.
Staying Alive was by the Bee Gees.
Bee Gees. Yes.
Yeah.
Staying Alive, Staying Alive. I love that song.
We did CPR class a lot.
That's the Temptations.
The Temptations.
Five Fine Black Men.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so we're talking pretty old. We're talking like the 70s,
80s. Yeah, it was before that. It was like 50s, 60s.
Oh, 50s, 60s.
Yeah.
Way before our time, doll.
Yeah. I was negative 34, maybe.
Wow, now we're doing negative ages. Hold on a second. I don't know what I would have been negative, but
I'm definitely interested in the cultures before my time, because like that's why I was created, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and the cultures before you should always be interested in. A lot of young kids today, it might be the parents' fault for just giving them video games and TV and not being in their life, but it's like they don't have that interest in family history or. You know,
I grew up listening to AC/DC and Metallica and Stevie Nicks and Fleetwood Mac and of them.
Yeah, snaps right there.
Yeah, you're right up my alley.
Yeah, I grew up in a house that primarily listened to what is now called classic rock. And the big one was country. There was a lot of country that was played. So like 90s country is always like my go-to when I want to feel nostalgic. So yes. I'll always put on some 90s country and listen to that. But I was raised primarily on those two genres of music. And then after that, I kind of branched out and started finding different stuff. Like now, like I like the Beatles. A lot of people don't care for the Beatles, but I like the Beatles. Many different artists that were from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s that a lot of kids my age, they don't know anymore.
I actually found out that Cirque du Soleil has like a Beatles themed show.
Oh.
So that's what I kind of like got into the Beatles a little bit.
So going back to the musical thing, there's a Beatles musical called Across the Universe where they actually took Beatles songs and turned them into a story. And that is actually, yes, that is actually where I fell in love with the Beatles, was that musical. And it's actually,
I'm gonna have to look that up.
It's actually my third favorite musical because I just love the imagery in it.
Little Yellow Submarine. Mm-hmm.
I hate that song. That is the only Beatles song I do not like.
That's the only one I do like because of what they're really talking about.
I don't like that song.
I love Lucy in the Sky.
My favorite song is I Get High with a Little Help from My Friends.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yes.
That's my favorite Beatles song.
I get high because I buy it myself.
And then you share it with your friends.
So my friends are getting high by a little help by their friend.
Yeah.
Yes.
I got to tell them that. I'm going to start playing that song around and see if they pick up on it.
Yeah, they'll be like, why are you playing this song?
I actually am now getting high with a little help from my friend because this is Brenda's. I ran out and she's like, I got you.
Awesome.
So I can't be as true.
That's why we have friends. They're always there to help us get high.
Yeah, or to borrow sugar or obey.
Yes.
Or a wig.
Yeah. I want to get a blonde wig because I'm in love with Reese Witherspoon. She's like my favorite actress, and she does TikToks, and I follow her. And she went on there, and she's like, "Tell me you're a friend of
a fan,
pretty of when she did the Pink movies."
Oh, mm-hmm. a fan of
yeah. When I get high, I forget things.
Oh my god! Now I just forgot it. Where she was the lawyer.
Oh, Legally Blonde.
Legally Blonde.
Yeah, yes. She's like, tell me you're a friend of Legally Blonde without actually telling me you're a friend of Legally Blonde. So I went back on there, and everybody's got stuff they're doing. Like, they're doing the bend and snap and stuff like that. But I want to get a blonde wig and do something. You know, maybe, like, have Benny Puss and say, I'm taking the damn cat, you know, or something bend like that.
Bend and snap.
I want to be Jennifer Coolidge whenever she hits the guy. The UPS guy in the face with her head.
Yeah. Somebody's going
to
be hurt.
I feel like hurting. I relate to her so much.
So, keeping on track here with a little bit more about you, you had mentioned in the notes that you had won 3 rounds of lip syncs in a showdown. So, can you give us some more information about that?
So, usually on Sundays, the Edge staff will come up with different competitions of how to represent their bar and everything, and also their entertainment. So, some person, like, way before, there used to be, like, Drag Wars, and there used to be Drag Survivor, where they would vote people out. Well, this time they wanted more of, like, a dance-themed competition. So me, being my little self, was like, well, I'm tired of doing just these open nights, so I might as well just go into a competition. So the competition is where 8 people come in, or 8 contestants, and it's like, how you see on RuPaul's Drag Race, whenever the bottom 2 go up against each other. It's kind of like that. But whoever wins goes into the next round, and then they have to battle another person. And then you go into the final round, where it's just the 2. And then whoever wins that round is the winner.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Like a lip sync for your life. There it is.
Yeah. That's awesome. So it's just a competition of lip syncs for your life.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for I'm waiting for the drag mud wrestling competitions.
I would totally enter that.
That'd be awesome as shit.
Get a pool of Jello and some mud.
Yeah. First one to lose your wig.
I know. Yes. They'll be ripping wigs off. It'll be like, I don't know if you ever seen the RuPaul show on Netflix.
AJ and the Queen.
That show, I loved it, by the way. I thought it was fantabulous. I just liked how Rue really played that part as him. Like, he really shone through that part, and I really liked it. But the part where they're at the, like, country bar, and he goes into the pool to get the money, and his wig comes off, and his boobs come off, and then they're all like shocked and stuff. That's what I could imagine with the Jello fights, is everything just starts coming off.
I guess I'm going to have to talk to them and say, we need to do this now.
That would actually be really fun. I think a lot of people would enjoy that.
Yeah. I think they would actually like pay money to see that, because that would be so much fun.
So, I wanted to talk a little bit about your photo shoot with Josh Ricker.
Yes. He is the creator of Queens of Filth, where he does like the alternative drag, which is very creepy, very eerie kind of drag, where a
Yeah.
lot of queens in Knoxville,
He's
they
also a friend of the
can't really
podcast.
excel. He's a friend of the podcast.
Yes, he actually he and I talk quite frequently on Facebook, and he's actually going to be a guest when his schedule opens up to talk about Queens of Filth with us. We had Vandasia on
Oh,
the
I love her.
podcast and talked with her about her Enchantress video that he had filmed with her. And then
Yes.
we are also going to be having Miss Nebula Majors on as well, which was
Oh,
the
they're such a
siren.
good family.
Yeah, so
I've heard that you had Nova Majors on, Logan McGinnis.
yes.
They're such a good entertainer as well.
Yeah, I love Logan. He actually changed it to Nova Stella now,
Oh, I keep on forgetting. Oh.
as we learned on the podcast. But yeah, he was
Yeah.
on with us. And he talked a little bit about Drag Wars season 3 and that experience. But yeah, so
Yes.
Josh is has become somebody that I frequently talk to on Facebook, because I am intrigued in drag, and he has that alternative side of drag, and
Yes.
that's where I'm more like going towards, because I like that. I like the Lady Gaga avant-garde look for
Yes.
costumes. I like the punk couture feel to costumes, and so like his drag really plays on that alternative avant-garde look that I'm shooting for with my drag persona. So
He is such a good person as well. Like, I know him personally, because he hung out with my drag mother, so we kind of like hit it off, and he is such an amazing person. If I need anything, he's always there. And whenever I won that competition where I got a photo shoot with Joshua, I was just screaming. I was like, yes, I get to work with my friend. He takes such good pictures, and he's so professional, and he edits them all himself. Like, if there needs to be smoke in the background, he drops everything and like puts it in.
yeah.
Like, he's just an amazing person, and he works so hard, and you can tell because of every little detail is like amazing.
Yeah, and actually when Vandasia was a guest on the podcast, I had reached out to Josh, and we had talked before this about his drag looks and stuff, and I said, "Hey, so Vandasia was a guest on my podcast, and I would really like to use one of your photos that you've taken of her. Is that okay with you?" And he said, "Yeah, if you want to use my photos of the queen guests that you have on, I'm okay with that." And so he gave me permission to use them for the teasers and stuff. So I thought that was pretty cool of him, because a lot of people don't like you to use their work and stuff for promoting other things. But I also think it was because I reached out to him and gave him an opportunity to say yes or no too. So he respected that. But he is a very, very kind person, and I spoke to him a couple of times, and I'm really excited to get him on the podcast and talk through the projects that he's been working on and things like that, because I know he's an immensely, immensely busy person, as he's told me quite a few times, because I've tried to schedule times with him, and he's like, "Right now it's not a good time. I'm pretty busy." So we're working on it, and I know
Yes.
it's going to be an awesome episode. He actually is going to invite his Queens of Filth co-creator on with him to talk a little bit about Queens of Filth and that journey and that process. And one of these days I'll be a queen of filth because I want to do it.
Yes.
One of my queens of filth is Divine. Do you guys know Divine?
Yeah, the one that the octopus was based off of on Little Mermaid.
No, that's Divine played in the original Hairspray. It was John Walters was the guy who produced that. He was a production guy out of Baltimore. And Divine was from this area. But Divine was a drag queen, like one of the original ones that went on screen.
Yeah, she's also was the inspiration for Ursula.
She was the inspiration for Ursula?
Yeah.
I know she didn't play Ursula.
No, she was the inspiration for the character of Ursula in The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, the looks are a lot. It was cool.
Like if you look at Divine and then you look at Ursula like compared to each other, when Disney created Ursula, they used Divine to create Ursula.
Yeah, because like Divine was also the original Queen of Filth. You know, she did some raunchy shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but the, like Pink Flamingo and all those whole movies, like oh,
yes,
they're so good, but they're so bad. You know,
yes,
it's not taboo. It's tab don't.
yeah, that's very intriguing. I haven't seen any Divine movies. I have seen clips and I've seen pictures, and I know the fun fact about Ursula.
We'll have to find out for movie night next night. We're gonna have to find out if we can get like one of the old Divine movies up.
Oh, okay.
I might be able to find it too on my maybe I shouldn't mention that on air.
All right. So, John, the last question that I have for you is, what do you want to see from yourself moving forward as far as your drag persona?
That's like a pageant question. I want to see...
world peace.
Myself, like, sorry, what did you say?
I said world peace.
Yeah, world peace, feed the children. I want to see myself grow stronger as a person, not only in drag, but also make sure that, like, I'm okay. I've been kind of in my head a lot for personal mental reasons, and it's kind of been a little bit of a struggle, but I just want to see myself grow and make sure everything is okay, and making sure that, like, having my friends grow with me.
That is very beautiful and powerful, and I can relate to that personally, as I have been working on myself a lot and learning to love myself. I know yesterday was Valentine's Day, and I literally looked at Doug and I said, today I'm celebrating Valentine's Day with myself, because like I need to learn to love who I am and what makes me and stop letting people tear me down and find people that fit into my life and want to fit into my life and not me want to fit into theirs, because I have a habit of doing that. So I can personally relate to that, and I admire that and I respect that as a good goal moving forward, because once you do start to love yourself and respect yourself, then you can bring your drag persona to a whole new light that you never thought that you could before.
Right.
So that's an amazing point to leave it on. So with that being said, if you would like to follow the Facebook or follow the podcast on Facebook, go to facebook.com/KOABD pod. Also, before we go, Doug has reminded me that John, would you like to pick a button on the colored button panel?
Yes.
So
let's do my favorite color, blue.
Okay, so blue. Let's see what you get.
Yes.
So here's the other blue, because there's actually two of them.
No! There's two.
Yes.
So you get a spooky sound, and you also get no.
No.
So back to what I was saying, you can also follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at KOABDpod. So until next time,
stay weird,
stay true,
and always be
a big deal. And don't forget to hug somebody, because everybody needs a hug.
Yeah, and bring your animals indoor, because it's fucking cold outside.
Chilly.
I had to get my fifth fuck. Shit, that was six.
Burr.
I said shit.
Burr. It's cold in here. There must be some dugs in the atmosphere. All right. We love you.